and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. You're watching Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, there have long been calls to replace Malaysia's highly punitive approach to drugs with more holistic and evidence-based policies. However, the think tank The Centre argues that public perception towards drug-related issues remain underexplored. Now, to address this gap, they've conducted a nationwide study, or a survey, to study the views of Malaysians towards drugs and public appetite to reform the criminal justice system for drug-related offences. Joining me on the show today to tell us more about this survey and what the survey found of how Malaysians really feel about drugs, we have Dr. Khairil Izamin Ahmad. He is CEO of The Centre. Khairil, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. I'm quite curious to know why The Centre saw the need to gauge public sentiment, current public sentiment on drug-related issues. I was wondering whether you had, you know, suspected or seen indications of a shift in public sentiment that maybe was no longer aligned or no longer aligned to Malaysia's harsh drug policies.
Thanks, Melissa. Thank you for having me on the show. So you mentioned one of the motivations behind why we've decided to pursue this project, but there's also a strong academic motivation behind it as well. But of course, this has practical consequences. So it's actually been some time since a study of this kind has been done. So the last one was in 1995. A study was done to gauge public perception towards drugs. But it didn't cover East Malaysia, so it covered only Peninsular Malaysia. So from the academic angle, we see this as an opportunity to update this information that we have regarding public perception towards drug. Then there's a social motivation to this too, which was what you mentioned earlier. After all, we're a think tank and we like our research to speak to the issues of the day. So we have been hearing for some time now for our drug policies to be reformed, for a rethinking to the way we handle and approach drug-related issues, and they've gotten louder lately. So these calls have been coming from different groups, lawmakers themselves, lawyers, activists, civil society, even experts, including medical experts. So there are a number of reasons for this call. One being the argument that the way we've dealt with drugs in the past, say, 40 years since this war on drugs was launched in the country has been ineffective. The goal was basically to eradicate drugs from society, but it hasn't really happened. And then there's also the moving with the time kind of argument, right? It's time to basically look at best practices elsewhere and consider how we can improve the way we actually deal with drugs. And there's also a practical argument, and this has been growing stronger since COVID came, and that's regarding prison overcrowding. So drug offenders make up the highest number of inmates in Malaysia's prisons. And the argument is that if we could find a way to reduce inmates who are drug offenders, then we can solve this issue. And this, of course, the COVID was the catalyst to the amplification of this call because there was also reports of the spread of the virus in the prisons, in Malaysia's prisons. Sure. So this is all good, right? So we are seeing these exchanges, but these are also exchanges that happens at that sort of a more higher level, at the level of experts, right? If I can put it that way. So the question arises, right? What do people actually think about these issues? So this was also a motivation that we had in pursuing the project.
I have to say, Khairil, it's very bold to title the survey, "How Do Malaysians Really Feel About Drugs?" It suggests maybe that outwardly they feel something else and inwardly they feel otherwise. But I do want to come back to quite a shocking, something shocking you just said. The last survey was 1995. about 3 decades ago. I mean, definitely now high time for a relook at what public sentiment is around drug-related issues. And 30, you know, almost 30 years ago, you didn't have there are a lot more drugs now than there were 30 years ago. Some new designer drugs. Can I ask you about the type of drugs and whether that makes a difference in public sentiment? Do people feel differently about certain drugs than they do others?
One of the there's a behind the scenes kind of a narrative here as well. It was one of the challenges that we faced when we were designing the questionnaire was to try to find a way to put questions to the public so that the questions wouldn't put people off from the start. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for this. The study that I just mentioned earlier, and there's also another one from 2009. This wasn't a perception study, but it was a study on social stigma towards drug and drug offenders. Both of them highlight societal stigma towards drug offenders, and this is something that hinders the reintegration of drug offenders into society. So keeping this in mind, we wanted to make sure that we'd be able to ask questions that would probably disrupt the kind of peace and, you know, sensitive questions that would put people off, but we still had to basically give them examples of the type of drugs that we are asking them about. So we had to distinguish the type of drugs that we'd like them to respond to in the question. So we do provide examples in the questions that we ask them. And we distinguish the drugs to one, less serious drugs, and more serious drugs. And under these categories, we do provide some examples of these drugs. And we base this classification on the UN drug schedule, which is a best practice sort of example to classify all these different drugs.
Okay, well, I'm quite curious to know then. I mean, what did you find? I mean, were people generally accepting of some types of drugs, or personal use of drugs, or use for physical or mental health? Can you share with us a little bit about what you found? And more interestingly, were there contradictory findings?
There aren't contradictory findings as such, but there are interesting findings, if I can put it that way. Generally, what we found in the study is that people still do hold conservative views about drugs. And there are variations in terms of how they respond to questions that relate to personal use of drugs and more external kind of issues surrounding addiction. So we probe the respondents based on their personal views to gauge their receptivity of the different types of drugs in terms of personal use. So there are questions about recreational use of drugs. There are also questions about whether or not they think drugs are the less and the more serious types of drugs are useful for treatment of physical and mental health. And from the personal side, what's interesting that we found was that they were more receptive to the use of drugs for self-medication of physical symptoms, but are less open or are less receptive to for the use for mental health treatment. There are also some very interesting findings with regard to how respondents see people who are addicted to drugs. Here is where the conservative pattern actually shows. So here is also where the stigma also shows. There is acknowledgement by respondents that drug dependence is a public health issue. However, at the same time, they are not, or they are less receptive to accepting former drug dependents into the society or to live amongst them. So these are some of the findings that we thought are interesting. It updates the information from the previous study, but at the same time, it tells us that there's a lot of work to be done still in terms of tackling societal stigma.
Is very interesting. Okay, Kyra, let's take a quick break. Let's come back and continue this and unpack all that you've just you've just laid on us. We'll come back and continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This. Hi, thanks so much for staying with Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. The think tank The Centre recently concluded a nationwide survey to study the views of Malaysians towards drugs and public appetite to reform the criminal justice system for drug-related offences. So we have on the show Dr. Khairil Izamin Ahmad, CEO of The Centre. Let's continue our conversation with him. Just before the break, Khairil, you mentioned that the respondents of the survey found that there was, you know, a bit more support for using drugs or controlled drugs for physical health symptoms as opposed to mental health symptoms. And I'm just wondering how that relates to public understanding about dual diagnosis. The fact that, you know, there are those who suffer from mental health issues that become substance users, or they have substance abuse disorders, or people who use drugs. Was there an understanding of dual diagnosis when you spoke to your respondents? And what does it mean if they don't see it in that perspective?
So we did ask questions to probe people's receptivity towards people who are addicted to controlled drugs. But we did not really directly probe their understanding of dual diagnosis. So it's more to gauge the level of sympathy and care that they have towards drug dependence. But questions that we ask pertaining to the level of sympathy and care do indirectly suggest the connection between mental illness and substance abuse disorder. So it's indirect, but at the same time, we have some information as to whether or not people or the respondents can make the connection. So I can give example of the question.
Sure.
One of them is a question about whether or not they think that addiction is caused by trauma. So that's one of the questions. There is acknowledgement amongst the respondents. So it's there is a significant result here that shows that they acknowledge the addiction can be caused by trauma. So there is, so this suggests some understanding of this dual diagnosis issue. And this is in addition to acknowledging that drug addiction is an illness like any other illnesses. So these are two of the questions that would speak to this topic of dual diagnosis.
All right. And can we address the fact that there still seems to be quite a fair bit of stigma around those, around people who use drugs and people who are addicted to drugs? Why is it that you found that although there seems to be an acceptance that this is a public health issue, that respondents were generally less accepting when it comes to accepting people who use drugs within their private life?
No, that's a very interesting question that I think should be probed further. But of course, there's also it also suggests to us an action point in that. So if I could jump a little bit towards one of the recommendations that we make in the study, we've called for more sort of outreach and a different way to deal with messaging about drugs. So this is perhaps a residue of what's been mentioned from the study that I cited before. But having said that, just to provide some balance here, we're not saying our findings does not suggest that there's this very hardcore sort of stigma that people hold towards drug offenders, former drug offenders. There is hope. So there is data that shows that people are open, you know, to like we mentioned earlier, to accepting drug addiction as a public health issue. So that's a good start. But when it comes to the more private dimension of people's lives, that's where the challenge actually lies. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, it's not all bleak. It's basically the, you know, the thing that we found. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of work to be done. But the reasons to respond to your question again, the reason itself is really something that's interesting to probe and find out.
Okay, so there's room for growth, hopefully. Can I ask you about how Malaysians are reacting or responding to what they think is proportionate response or proportionate punishment for certain types of drug offences? What do they consider, do they consider the proportionality of the punishments when they are thinking about drug use and substance abuse?
So punishment and penalty is, of course, one of the main concern of the study. And of course, when we're talking about drugs, a lot of attention will be paid to the death penalty. Prisoners on death row in Malaysia, the majority of them are actually drug offenders. So the survey does probe extensively these questions. So what we did was we basically asked questions without context first. So we just give a list of different punishments and ask people to respond based on what they think are the appropriate responses to those offences. I mentioned punishments earlier, sorry, offences. And then we move on to offer scenario-based questions. So we'd like to basically test whether or not their perspective shift when they see questions that are based on scenarios. So if I could touch on the death penalty first, because sure. This is one of the key takeaways of the study. We found that there is little support for the death penalty for drug offences in the country. So that's one of the key takeaways, and it's also a ray of hope for people who would like to explore the possibility of, doing something about the death penalty more than what we've seen already
Correct. Abolishing it completely as opposed to just the mandatory death penalty.
Correct. But at the same time, I've got to caveat that with what I said earlier as well about the stigma point. There's a lot of work to be done if we're talking about advocating for, say, abolishment of the death penalty. Having said that, there is also, in terms of punishment preference, there's also, we also found that respondents were in favor of custodial sentences for many of these cases that we put to them. So, low support for the death penalty, but at the same time, quite significant support for custodial sentences. If we map this onto the real world, we can see especially for the support of custodial sentences, we can see a kind of a connection. So the responses actually sync with what's happening out there. So basically, there is this there's this acceptance that you need custodial sentences for a lot of these offenses. But for death penalty, the picture is a little bit different when you map it onto.
If I were to read that correctly, if the public sentiment leans heavily towards custodial sentences for drug related offenses, that might not jive with the issues at hand, the overcrowding we see in prisons, the very harsh drug laws that we have right now, which puts people in prisons for even minor drug offences. How then, according to the results of your survey, would you propose a way forward if the goal for Malaysia would be decriminalisation of certain drug offences?
So when it comes to the discussion on decriminalizing certain drugs, I think so we could bring in another aspect of of the ongoing discourse, and that's surrounding the use of certain controlled drugs for therapeutic or medicinal purposes. So there's also this sort of there's also advocacy for this that's currently happening, especially for cannabis, for example. That's one of the key moments with regard to drug scheduling in the UN, which we actually used, as I mentioned earlier, in the study, is the reclassification of cannabis from Schedule 4 to Schedule 1, which opens up the discussion, of course, also opens up the possibility of further research into the use of these drugs.
Well, Khairil, if I may rephrase my question, I know we are a long way from decriminalizing as opposed to, say, some other countries who have taken that track. Where I do wonder if there's room for change is in a rehabilitative approach to Malaysia's drug policy. And how might that jive if there's still a strong preference for custodial penalties when it comes to drug offences?
I think it's important to also highlight here that despite the expressions of preference for custodial sentences, it does actually soften once real cases are put to the respondents.
Oh, I see.
That's one. Secondly, there's also a section in the survey, the concluding section, which ask respondents to state what would be their preferred method to deal with drug offences in the country. And there, we find that there is actually preference for decriminalizing certain forms of drug dependence.
Okay.
So there is also when they're asked to basically respond without sort of, so there's a concluding section that provides a list of different responses to drug offenses, then we did actually find some support for decriminalization of drug dependency.
Okay.
And that basically indication for a preference of more rehab-based approaches in dealing with drug cases.
Khairil, we've come to the end of the show, and in the last minute or so that we have left, I do want to ask you where you'd like to see this taken next. You've got the survey, you've got the results. What would you like to see happen next?
What we've done in the study, and the report will be launched soon. As I mentioned earlier, we've provided the key takeaways. We also have provided some policy recommendations based on our findings. And there are there are sort of two key themes to these recommendations. One being our call to amend certain aspects of the Dangerous Drugs Act, and also the introduction of the replacement of the current law to deal with drug dependence into one that is more rehab based. This was actually announced by the government actually last year. It's just that it hasn't really come to fruition. And also, the second sort of theme that we highlight in our recommendations is to call for a more compassionate and a more non-stigmatizing way to communicate to communicate on drug-related issues. There'll be more things to be done in order to achieve all these changes that we want. We'll also be making, we'll also be suggesting how this can be pursued.
Definitely a lot of work to do still, but thank you so much for sharing the results of this study with us tonight. That was my conversation with Dr. Khairil Izamin Ahmad, CEO of The Centre. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for this evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.